There are those moments in history when you can look back and say exactly where you were and what you were doing when you heard the news. The assassination of President Kennedy, or Bobby, or Martin Luther King Jr. come to mind. I was only 4 years old, but I can see myself in my grandparents' living room when the Challenger exploded. I was a freshman in college when, on that beautiful blue-skied morning, my roommate came in to tell me that an airplane had hit one of the Twin Towers. Like you, I thought it was an accident until he came back to say, "I think we're under attack. A second plane has hit the other tower." We watched on our computers in our dorm as the buildings crumbled and the terrible news continued to unfold until the voice of the Dean of Students came over the phone. Our 20-story building in the shadow of the Sears Tower was being evacuated. I spent the rest of the day sitting in Washington Square Park, gazing at that blue sky, trying to figure out what had just happened. And today we turn the news on to learn of raging wildfires, mass shootings, election uncertainty, wars, rumors of wars, famines and earthquakes. Our gospel reading this morning is one that is constantly used in predictions about the end of the world. There are people out there who make vast fortunes tracking famines and wars and earthquakes, selling books, updating their fans on the latest assessment of creation's progress towards the end of times. Of course, none of these authors quite realize that nowhere in this passage is the end of the world even in question. Jesus says nothing about the world's end. He makes a very specific statement that the buildings of the temple will be thrown down. And in response to his disciples' question, he offers some reflections on his own coming again. This isn't the end of the world. But for the disciples, it's the end of their world. The temple thrown down, Jerusalem in ruins, wars and famines and earthquakes. It's not the end of the world, but it is certainly the end of everything the disciples had understood to be permanent. And Jesus insists this is only the beginning. It's not a happy picture. And so they ask him, when will these things be? When will we know the end of the story? Jesus answers them not with a date or time, not with any suggestion of what to look for when he returns, but instead by saying, "Do not be alarmed. Do not be afraid. These things are but the beginning of the birth pangs. Do not be afraid. These things are the beginning of the birth pangs." With this answer, Jesus deflects attention away from the kind of ends we're used to imagining. Do not be afraid. These are the beginnings of the birth pangs. It's the end of the temple, the end of life as they knew it. But there's really no threatening language here, no sense of final annihilation, no suggestion of a final moment in which all of them must decide. The earth doesn't open up and swallow the wicked. Fire doesn't rain down from heaven. Judgment is nowhere to be found. Rather, the command, do not be afraid. Jesus reveals that the operative question here is not, when are we going to reach the end of the story? But what is God doing in the world? And when will it finally be ready to begin? Think of the other times we hear, do not be afraid, in Scripture. When Moses trembles before the burning bush and receives the news that God will bring his people out of Egypt. When the archangel Gabriel visits Mary and tells her that she will bear the Son of God. when Jesus at the Last Supper tells his disciples that he will be taken from them on the next day as he goes to the cross to work their salvation. Do not be afraid. This command always heralds something new and wonderful that God is about to do in the world. Do not be afraid. These are only the beginnings of the birth pains. If we're stuck thinking about the end, we're asking the wrong question. God is actually not all that interested in the endings to begin with. In fact, his chief purpose is to put an end to all endings. We read in the scriptures that the last enemy to be destroyed is death itself. And in Christ's resurrection from the dead, he breaks the grave's stranglehold on life and opens the way for us to eternity. When he comes again, it will be the final end to death. The final end to all endings and the beginning of eternity with God. If our world is still rocked by wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, and violence, it is because death still struggles to have the last word. And even while the temple, made with hands, crumbles to the ground, we have a temple not made with hands, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Because we who are baptized are born anew, born by water and the Holy Spirit into our Lord's deathless life. We do not have the luxury of sitting idle and waiting for the world to end, waiting for Christ to come back and fix it once for all. We, members of his body, are the vanguard of his kingdom. And it is our task not to wait for the end, but to be busy about the beginning. The beginning of the kingdom of God. We have work to do. We cannot buy into the culture of fear that assumes everything is a zero-sum game of win or lose, eat or be eaten, have or have not. Though it's tempting, because that culture can build great monuments, great temples to human industry that people admire and aspire to imitate. But there's a hidden cost to monuments to human achievement. There's a hidden cost to the pursuit of power and dominance. And that cost is always human blood. Instead, our work as members of Christ's body is to cultivate love in the midst of ruin and failure and despair. Our work is to cultivate humility in a landscape planted thick with competing prides and divisions. Our work is to go and love our neighbors, even in the face of injustice, so that innocence might shine all the brighter. And make no mistake, this work will make us all look like fools. No one will build great monuments for this achievement. But ruin and despair and failure and even death are the places where Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." Even though the stones of the temple fall, even though every monument be pulled down and all is devoted to destruction, he is there. And where he is, the resurrection holds sway. The forgiveness of sins, the raising up of what has fallen. Where Jesus is, their creation meets its appointed end, an eternal beginning, life in the glory of God forever. Amen.